You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, this is Susan Dene and welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show where I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw. And today's specialty, well, scripting for emotionally charged relationships. You know, are you someone who consistently works on yourself, your communications, your attitude? Do you feel as if you are emotionally confident? So why is it then that certain relationships send you over the edge? After all the self-analysis, the acceptance of others, the deep work, you still find that you can become emotionally charged with certain personalities in your life. When the negative emotions come up, we momentarily lose our feelings of trust, of caring, of understanding, acceptance, appreciation, and respect for whoever we're talking to. Today's show, I'm going to provide conversation tips, emotional strategies that you can apply with your partner, your boss, your kids, your in-laws, anyone else in your world that still tips you over at times. I love talking about things like this, especially in relationships. You know, our crazy shows up, and more often than not, I would probably say, unless we're like an extreme isolator, it's going to show up in our people, in our relationships. I don't care how healthy of a personal development life you live. When there are relationships precious, I will say precious to you on some level, like if it's our parents or our children, our partner, perhaps we're married or we're in a committed relationship where we live with somebody, those special relationships to us, No matter how much work we do on ourselves, there usually is something that can still emotionally tip us over. It doesn't need to be a big tip. It doesn't need to be, you know, blow the whole house up. I have had those, though. You can ask some people who know me. I've had them. But sometimes it's just a matter of different things that we think we're communicating effectively. And then we realize that we forgot to say something very significant to the person. So how do we have successful conversational scripting with emotionally charged relationships? Well, let's first talk about how do we identify that we're being emotionally tipped over? Like in the moment, how do we identify? There's a couple real obvious signs that this is happening to you. Okay, one, let me just preface this by saying, you're coming into a conversation, it's with somebody that you know pretty well, and you want to talk about something that is challenging. Maybe it's an issue that's been coming up. Maybe you finally decided to deal with a resentment that you had. Hopefully you're not landing it on them right out of the gate. You've worked with somebody. But you know, maybe there's just something that you need to talk to this person about enough to where you sat on it for a few days, and now you're getting prepared to have the conversation. Sometimes this will show up for you professionally. Imagine the boss that you want to ask for the raise, or you need to ask for some time off. Maybe it's a relative, you're wanting them to babysit for you, but there's always tension between you. You're wondering if they're mad at you about something. Like there's something in life, right, that goes on when this type of scenario comes up. So how do you know if this is something that would emotionally tip you? Or how do you know if you've been emotionally tipped by them? Okay, here's number one sign. In the heat of a discussion, have you ever been in the heat of a discussion with one of these types of personalities and you said stuff and then later on you realized, I didn't even remember to say that one thing. Like you forgot, you just totally forgot. You thought it was at the top of the priority list. A lot of times this might happen to folks professionally if they're talking to superiors at work, but they just completely forget something that was vital to the decision or vital to the conversation, just blank out. Because in the moment, we're so consumed with wanting to, I don't know, maybe do it right. that we forget some of our points. Okay. Another reason, or another aha moment, or what's it look like? Thinking you are good going into a sensitive topic with somebody and then losing your cool midway because of their behavior or their words. Have you ever had, like you feel really good about something, you know, somebody close to you, and then you sit down to have a conversation and the way that they interpret it is not the way you intended it, and suddenly they're upset or they become sarcastic or they do the, the throwback punch where now they're going to turn around and insult you. And you're thinking, oh my God, I just wanted to have a productive conversation. How did this go south? How did this go south? And so as you're witnessing this, you can't quite hang in there and overcome it. And so you just lose your cool in the middle of it. Any of the bulldozers out there may relate to this one. You know, we're thinking we're in control and we've got it all figured out. And then boom, the behavior of the other person just hits us. Another one for the doormats out there, a behavior of somebody you go to communicate, which can be very challenging for doormats, very challenging, it can be intimidating, it can be scary, it can be overwhelming. And then the other person behaves in an inappropriate way. What can happen with somebody who might more identify with the doormat kind of base is they will just shut down, not know what to say, completely freeze up. The other person bulldozes the conversation. And now there's no, so that may be an emotional tippy moment that you've had that might resonate with you. And here's another one. Here's an emotional tipping that you might have going on right now. And let me just say the one word: you are avoiding somebody for some reason, because when you're around them, you just feel like you can't hold it together. But yet you know that it's not appropriate to avoid them. But you don't know how to address it, and you've actually become like habitual in your treatment of this person like that. So either you're not ending the relationship, maybe it's family, maybe it's somebody at work, I don't know, maybe it's a friend that kind of hangs out on the peripherals and you only hang out when you got enough in you to hang out, but then you avoid them all the other times. Anyway, if there's avoidance going on, then that personality with you is somebody who's emotionally tipping you over. And so the emotional tip over is, you know, sometimes it's our behavior will come up, whether we're blowing up or you know, we lose our cool in the middle of a heated discussion, or we avoid. And then you've got other things where, you know, you are emotionally tipped over in hindsight, when you realize you have forgotten or you forgot to say something that was pertinent to the conversation. And so, you know, these type of people in your life will be the ones, especially the ones dear to your heart. Say there's a sensitive topic up for discussion, and let's say it's family. And you've been weighing the pros and cons about, is it appropriate that I speak with them? Should I speak with them? Is it my role to speak with them? If you have a relationship in your life where that's going on between your ears, that figuring what's the appropriate thing to do, should I not? That is an emotionally tipping relationship for you. Okay, just FYI. Another identifier would be when you think about this person, there's just an uncomfortableness that overcomes you. And it doesn't need to be screaming at you, but it's enough that you know, like, oh, I got to talk to this person. Or, oh, that's usually not a conversation I would like to have. Like, there's hesitancy. It's not a good feeling. Let's just put it that way, or I will put it that way. It's not a good feeling that you're looking forward to speaking to this person. It's a heavy feeling. It's not easy. I had a conversation once with a relative that was extremely challenging. It was around, I don't know if anybody's ever been involved with 12-step work. I'll just say talking to somebody about whether or not they are in the disease of alcoholism or addiction. based on my past and my experience and my work with other people in recovery, I've I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate. Fortunately, I've had the opportunity to do that many, many times. In this particular case, it was somebody close to me, and it was extremely challenging. And going into it, and I'm going to give you the short version if I can. Going into it, I knew that it was going to be a sensitive subject, and I also knew, obviously, right? But I also knew that their response to it, because I thought I kind of knew their personality a little bit, I kind of knew the way they communicated, the way they processed information. I prepared, let's just say. I prepared. Plus, being me and what I've done in my life and in what I do for a living and things like this, I have a certain level of confidence thinking that I'm going to be okay going into this type of conversation. Here's this conversation happened a while ago, but it also, I was reminded of it when I was preparing for this show, and it actually inspired me to talk about it. Because once the conversation took place, there were some uncomfortable moments where I had to really point out behaviors and ask them what they thought about those behaviors and why they thought their impact was being what it was. And I hang up the, or I get off the phone, you know, I have the conversation, and I thought, well, it wasn't, you know, I mean, it was stressful. It took a lot out of me, you know, kind of not exactly the conversation I signed up for today. And so then I called a mentor and I bounced it off of her. And because, it, you know, anytime there's an emotionally charged big relationship conversation that you need to have, and there might be a lot of history to the relationship, or there might be a lot of beliefs to the relationship, because you will have beliefs not only about the relationship, about you and the other person, you will carry beliefs about the other person and how they've been behaving in your life for many, sometimes many, many years. And depending on how that relationship is in your life, whether that's through, like, let's say it's a professional relationship, well, there are different things at risk for you, perhaps. Maybe it's reputation, maybe it's ability, maybe it's ambition, that, like, there's different things that could be at risk for you by having this conversation. And so the more tie-in that you have to a relationship, the reason why it can be challenging is because there are layers upon layers upon layers of beliefs. And when that is in your life, and when those type of relationships have been showing up for you, and now you're in this conversation, let's just say challenging, emotionally tipping conversation, it is a really good idea to find a mentor or a trusted confidant that you can bounce this off of, and one, before you go into the relationship, and that's what I did, or a conversation, before you go into the conversation, make sure you bounce it off your mentor. You simply say, this is what's going on, this is what I'm going to do, I mean, whatever, because it's nice to get an outside perspective on these type of situations. So in this case, I did that, I have the conversation, I come back, I tell her, here's what happened. And now remember, this was a recovery conversation. And she kind of chuckles and she says, well, why didn't you ask about this? And what she was referring to was, it came up in the conversation about potentially some, I'll just say, pills or drug, you know, a drug being used, but I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it, which you would think, I got like 20 plus years in recovery. I've had all kinds of, I've had this conversation many times on some level with different people, but because it was such a special relationship to me, because the person is emotionally tied to me in many ways, as prepared as I was, as much as I thought I knew, after that relation or after that conversation, I realized I forgot to address a very important thing that got talked about. Just gone. I was so focused on something else going on, like trying to hold it all together, that I just forgot. When I mention things, how do you know if it's an emotional tipping point? And I bring up, you forget. That's what can happen. Have you ever walked out of a boss's office and just been like, oh my, I was totally going to say this and I forgot? Emotionally tipped, right? Emotionally tipped. So that's why I'm talking about this today, is because this happens in everyday life. Emotionally tipped relationships can definitely happen in intimate relationships. In fact, those are kind of a hotbed for it, you know? And there's we talk about beliefs. We got a bunch of stuff going on there. So it is important, and it's a necessity to understand how your crazy operates in those scenarios. And once again, I like to educate on how our individual, and I call it the crazy, how our individual communication skills show up, or how our individual I'm just gonna freaking take off the filter here, because, you know, I get so wrapped up sometimes about what people think are politically correct, you know. And that's, look, we got flaws, we got weaknesses, it just is what it is. So when you're crazy and your weaknesses and your flaws are not benefiting you, that's what I like to talk about. So if you have emotionally charged conversations and you're losing your stuff in the middle of them because you can't hold it together, then that's why this show is there for you today. All right. So why do emotionally charged relationships affect us so much? Well, how good are you at setting boundaries? I think it was a few weeks back, I think I did a show on boundaries. I can't remember if it was a highlight of the show or if it was the actual show. I probably should have looked that up, but I've been talking a lot. Anyway, understanding when a boundary is appropriate with those relationships, because the appropriateness of boundary setting is really sometimes coming down to, in the conversation with somebody, being able to address inappropriate behavior. And so what would inappropriate behavior be in an emotionally tipping relationship / conversation? Somebody's behavior might be they over talk a lot. Okay. They interrupt a lot. They're unable to listen at all to another party's, you know, feedback or experience of being in a relationship with them. So that can be very challenging. And so you come across somebody who over talks a lot, or they'll interrupt you mid-sentence. And I'm not talking about like interrupting with children when they've got, you know, attention deficit disorder or anything like that. That's in a whole different category. I'm talking about grown-ass adults right now, and people who over talk, interrupt, or somebody in your life who might be suffering from a unsurmountable amount, or surmountable, is it unsurmountable? Anyway, I'm going to go with unsurmountable, whatever. I think I did a whole thing on me not being the best at grammar. So there you go, you grammar checkers. Okay, unsurmountable amount. Now I hosted up of self-pity. Do you got any self-pity heroes in your life? Yeah, try addressing that in an uncomfortable conversation, calling somebody out on self-pity or trying to bring it to their attention. You know, how appropriate can you be in a sensitive conversation like that? You know, is there a decision to continue to stay in the relationship? A lot of times with these relationships that are emotionally tipping us over, they're close relationships, like I said. And close relationships, you know, they can have stuff like somebody suffering from self-pity. And once again, outside the box, I'm not talking about somebody who's been clinically diagnosed with depression. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who's feeling sorry for themselves, and you either got to live with them or you got to work next to them in the cubicle, and it's killing you. And you're just like, oh my God. And it just goes on and on and on. All right. They might complain a lot. You know, the sky is always falling. What is that, Chicken Little? The sky is always falling. Or you got Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore. You know, I mean, just, you got an Eeyore in your life. Okay, so that might be one of the reasons, you know, recognizing when a boundary is appropriate. How do you set boundaries in that scenario so that you don't have to take all that in all the time? And last but not least, one of my favorite one, I don't even know if favorite's the right word, but I will say one of the ones that is the most obvious, okay, the most obvious to call out is when you're in a relationship with somebody. Now, I'm not talking intimate, just remember anywhere where they have a lot of passive aggressive comments. And it's like a feeling like they're calling you out on something, but they're not really calling you out on it, but they're not coming right out and being forthright with you. And it'll almost come across as a criticism. Passive aggressiveness is shaming to the person on the other end of that. It is shaming somebody. So if you're being shamed by somebody because their communication style is passive aggressive, it is time to set a boundary. Passive aggressiveness can show up in all kinds of areas of life. It can show up in our families, in our intimate relationships. It can show up at work. It can show up with bosses. It can show up with coworkers. You know, it's passive aggressive. It's icky. That's what it is. It's icky. I don't think I suffer from passive aggressive too much. Abruptness, rude abruptness, maybe. Bluntness, I don't know. Okay. All right. So you get into setting boundaries with some of these difficult relationships. I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail about how to do the boundaries, because once I get into the conversation scripting piece of this, that's going to give you some manageable tools that you can apply right away in these scenarios. But I will say there's a difference between a soft boundary with somebody and a hard line boundary. Think of a soft boundary like a doughy boundary. A soft boundary is like soft dough. It just kind of, it's not going to go anywhere. There's no consequence. There's no oomph behind it. Sometimes we need a little bit of oomph behind our boundary setting. A soft boundary, people will walk all over. They will not adhere to the boundary. They will not respect your boundary. They will just walk all over it. So that's a soft boundary. If in these emotionally tipping relationships and in these communications, you're finding yourself repeating yourself, there's something wrong with the boundary. There's not enough communication in the boundary. It's not clear. It's not assertive enough. Something is going on. There's not a consequence that has been adhered to by you with the other relationship. And which brings me to a hard line boundary. A hard line boundary is going to be very clear with somebody. It's going to have a consequence applied. So more or less, you know, I need this. And if this doesn't happen, this is what I'm willing to do. And then the willing to do part actually gets done. You will see people change sometimes if the boundary is mutually agreeable, like when it comes down to disrespectful feelings in a relationship or rude behavior under the roof, that type of thing. It can be, you know, if both parties kind of believe, you know, understand that this behavior wasn't appropriate and there's a consequence and that consequence is followed through on, you will see change in your relationship. You will see change under your roof. And this also works at work. All right. So a soft boundary, it's mushy. There's nothing to it. And if you're repeating yourself in a relationship over and over, it's because you've got soft boundaries going on. A hard line boundary is going to be more that's clear, it's assertive, and there's a consequence to it. And the person setting the boundary has shown likely in the past that they have the ability to hold that consequence. And so why am I talking about all of this? Because when we're in emotionally tipping conversations, sometimes between the soft boundary and the hard boundary, we can overreact in either direction. And it's just good to be aware of that. It's good to be aware of when you talk about, if you're looking at your own relationships and you're wondering this one relationship, there's no way I could have this conversation or there's no way this is going to work, or this is a history between us. Take a look at what you've been communicating with them and take a look at what behaviors you've been tolerating for way too long, likely you have, and what could you say differently? And I'm going to give a few tips on that as I continue on through the show. I will add to that, with the soft boundary, a lot of times we will give if we're easily pushed over during the conversation. Or remember that self-pity personality I was talking to you about? In the self-pity personality, we might feel sorry for them. And so we give with the boundary. We won't hold it. That's personally happened to me a few times in working with women in recovery. There's been some that, as much as intellectually, I feel like this would be the best boundary to set with them, emotionally, my heart hurts for them, and I just can't quite do it. And so there's been results that have, unfortunately gone in a direction that maybe wasn't so great. So none of this is easy for anyone sometimes when we're really looking at these emotionally tipping relationships and the scripting that goes on and the conversation that takes place. Another thing to always think about when you're communicating or you're doing something challenging, like a emotionally charged conversation, whether it's with boundaries or no boundaries, take a look at what time of the day you're doing this. Always pay attention to that. In recovery, I always like to say where I get some of my stuff because, anything I've got, usually it's been learned, studied, picked up on, right? And so there's this thing we say in recovery, and it's called HALT: hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Pay attention. Are you hungry trying to have an emotionally charged conversation? Or is somebody trying to have an emotionally charged, or it's a emotionally tipping, has the potential for emotionally tipping for you, and that personality comes to you and wants to have a big discussion? Set yourself up for success. Ask yourself, am I hungry? Do I need to eat right now? I don't know about any of you that suffer from hangry, but I got a couple people under my roof that do. And I will just tell you, sometimes before we dive into some family discussion, I'm like, did everybody eat? Because we don't need to poke the hangry bear. Hungry, angry, angry. Have you been angry lately? Are you in the heat of an angry emotion? That is the time to not dive into the type of conversations that I'm talking about today. Loneliness, which would kind of be the opposite. Am I feeling lonely? Am I feeling down? Don't have your feet quite underneath you. Do you know what I mean by that? Like you're not exactly feeling confident and upbeat about life and what you've got going on. That may not be the time to have an emotionally, potential for an emotionally tipping conversation with somebody. And then this one I personally learned from. I'm gonna share a story. I wasn't planning on sharing the story, but I'm gonna share the story. My husband and I, we were in a relationship. I think we were married. We got married after like 5 years. We moved in together and we're talking about something, and it took us a while to figure out the sweet spot of communication. And how we learned this was because somebody tended to get really cranky after about 9 p.m. I would run and do my stuff all day long, work, kids, whatever. And by the time bedtime, 9 p.m. rolled around, yes, I'm older now and very sober, so I go to bed like super early. But so does he. But the difference is he goes to bed like wide awake and happy and talking and blah, 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 blah. And so what would happen is we'd have these conversations that would come up between us. And for whatever reason, they might be something heavy, right? Like, I mean, we're a blended family. We've got kids of, step parenting going on. We got exes involved. We got a house. We got built, right? Pick a topic. Something can come up. And we had to learn that there's an appropriate time to communicate, and it is not when one of us is tired. Not when one of us is tired. It's best to hold those conversations when everybody is well rested. So I share that with you because we got to be smart. Is if we're going into one of these conversations with somebody and we're a little bit hesitant, we need to check ourselves first and also do them the honor. Like, don't be calling them up at 5 a.m. to have an emotional, heated conversation. Just because you want to talk doesn't mean they want to talk. You hearing me? All right. So hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's a good little tip. I'll share that with the world. Let's see, what else do I got? Do you know what to say? So, as I was sharing earlier about, we get into relationships, or we have relationships in our life that some are way more emotionally charged than others. And the reason why is because we have a history with them and we have a perception of the relationship. We have beliefs established of how we should be treated within those relationships. And that is why we don't ever know what to, sometimes we don't know what to say. We don't know how to word it. We don't know how to convey our needs. There's a lot of worrying about what the other person's going to think about us. There's a lot of worrying. I've heard people say, I feel that I'm scared they're going to abandon me if I share this with them. So in our relationships now, and I'm gonna hone in on intimate relationships right now, just a little sidebar, or even really close friendships. Do the people in your life truly know you? Do they truly know you? Or have you been holding back? You know, are you a secret on some level? I would really emphasize this in intimate relationships, you know, where we will tend to like not really say what we want or not really say how things are affecting us for fear of what's the other person going to think? What are they going to do with this information? Sometimes we withhold information or not even set those boundaries because we feel that that's a mean thing to do when really it's a very healthy relationship tool to implement. A healthy relationship has tough conversations. A healthy relationship, there will be a give and take of communication when that occurs. A healthy relationship is one where both parties are willing to come to the table and have a discussion and not need to digress emotionally. The word popped in my head, even violently. And I'll say violently emotionally. That's a healthy relationship. What a non-healthy relationship would be is you're coming to this relationship, this potentially emotionally tipping relationship for you, and the other person just yells, screams, doesn't want to hear about it. You rarely have heard an apology from them. And that can get into a whole other show that I'm not going to go into right now. But there are signs of healthy communication relationships and unhealthy. And usually if you have two parties who are willing to have a talk, it can work. It can work. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about what's with the talk, right? What can you do in order to have a successful conversation with somebody who you might get emotionally tipped over? So you might forget what you want to say, right? You might forget what you want to say. You have lost your cool in the middle of this conversation before with them. All the preparation in the world. So you're overthinking it before you go in. Should I talk to him? Should I not talk to him? You got all that going on. Okay, so that's the party I'm talking about. So now I'm gonna dive into that a little bit with you. So how do you script a conversation for an emotionally tipful conversation? How do you script for that? Okay, first off, I'm gonna give you a fantastic tool, and don't laugh when you read this because I actually, I hope she's watching, I had a client recently who did this. And, oh, can you even see that? It's probably way too far. Here. That ain't gonna work, is it? Okay. Write it down. Write it down. You're preparing for this conversation. Hopefully you're gonna do some preparation. I mean, every now and then we'll get emotionally tugged and we'll just start blurting stuff out and, you know, have a nightmare on our hands. But if this is an important conversation for you, you really want to be heard. You're seeking to have your needs met. Maybe you're asking for a raise. Maybe you're at home talking to your spouse about something that you've never talked to them about before. Perhaps you've been struggling personally and you need to convey that to somebody. Whatever that is, but you're kind of antsy about talking about it. You're nervous. Write it out. Prepare a little bit. You know, when I was getting ready to do this show, I was thinking to myself, how often in life, you know, in the past or even currently, or maybe I don't know if therapist is the right word to say, but let's just say friends, where somebody's like, well, just go talk to them about it. And everybody's like, well, just go talk. But we don't know what to say. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, last time I was on the show, I was talking about reframing and rephrasing. I love to give tangible scripting tools to folks because we don't always know what to say. And so that's the first thing. You're going to write down your conversation. If this is an important enough conversation that you're wanting to effectuate change in the relationship, or you need to be heard differently, or you need a need met, and you have been withholding this, this is important stuff for you. Write it down, write it out. Okay. When you're writing it down and you're writing it out, maybe make like a rough draft. I don't know. But something to keep in mind when you go into your communication with someone, this is really important. This is tip number two. So tip number one, write your stuff down. Tip number two, stay on your side. Stay on your side. What this means is, I feel this way. I'm having trouble with this. I'm scared for this reason. Not, you aren't doing enough. You aren't hearing me. You don't care that I'm scared. All of that is putting something on the other person that they may or may not be experiencing because, you know, hello, everybody's got their own perception of their relationships with people. I don't care how long you've been in a relationship with somebody or how special it is to you. They have their own experience with you that you have no idea about. And probably is none of your business half the time, right? They have their own experience. And why wouldn't they have their own experience? They are coming to the table with their own life, their own set of beliefs, their own life, their own opinions. I mean, when they leave for work in the day or your boss is at home in the evening, they ain't thinking about you. They're having a whole new level of experience. And so always keep that in mind when you're communicating. Come from the I point of view. It's not healthy to assume the other person already knows what you're thinking. By the way, that's another boundary thing. but it's not safe to assume that they know what you're thinking. Stay on your side. Always come from the I point of view would be the suggestion here. You know, I feel this way. This is my experience. I'm concerned about, I need, and then I'll write, I've got some stuff I'll go over with you a little bit slower with some of the actual scripting, but that's what I mean by stay on your side of the road. You got to stay on your side. You know, we often wonder, you know, what is the number one, I will tell you, the number one problem in relationships, especially intimate relationships, because that's where the breakup tends to be, you know, dramatic. Communication. It's lack of healthy communication. How often in highly emotionally connected relationships do we take it personal? We lose all ability to try to be, you know, like round-minded. Is that right? Round-minded? That's totally not right. Hang with me. Can you relate to me here? But we lose all ability to have an open mind. There it is. Open mind about the conversation. We take it personally. Our own filter often will tell us, oh my gosh, they're blaming me for something. Oh my God, he's telling me I did something wrong. He's judging me. He's telling me this isn't working. And really, those words never came out of the other person's mouth, but that's what we are assuming is going on. Okay, so we have to be careful of doing that with one another. Don't assume we think we know. Stay on our side of the road. That's tip number two for handling some of these relationships that may emotionally tip you during a conversation. Okay, what's next? Oh, number three. When you're talking with them, ask a lot of W or H questions. W or H questions. What do you think of this? How does it make you feel when I say that? Would you please explain to me why you put it that way? You're pulling information from somebody so that you have both of you have a wider, you have more ground. You know, you got more to work with. Yes, no questions aren't going to pull anything for you. I'm kind of tapping into my old career right now. But, you know, framing your questions in a way in which you and the other person can actually have a conversation. You know, if they're expressing to you that they feel a certain way, you can ask about that feeling. How often does that feeling come up for you? I wasn't aware of that. What can I do to make it better? If there's an opportunity for you to make it better. And the H questions, you know, how does that affect you when I say that? You know, keeping in mind that this is a conversation between two people. When you're adults and you have a healthy relationship, this type of communication is welcomed. And sometimes, even in healthy relationships, we do lose our cool a little bit. So just keep that in mind. W questions, H questions, more or less you're staying away from yes, no questions. They're like, no, yeah, no. Everybody gets defensive. Nothing's going on. Conversation comes to an end. All right. Okay. Tip number four. Here we go. This is for you. And you could ask whoever you're having the conversation with, what do you need? But I'm going to hone in on you. What do you need? You know, as I was preparing for the show, I think a lot of times people get really weirded out by the word need. It feels needy. This comes from my own personal experience, by the way. I have a story about this one. But what do you need? And being able to stand up for what you need in a relationship often is a foreign concept to some people. They don't know how to express what they need in a relationship. Or even deeper than that, they don't even know what they need because they've never asked themselves. It gets lost in the umbrella of life. You know, sometimes we're just going to work, we're coming home, we've got a tight schedule, we're constantly tired maybe, or bugging out too much on the cell phone and not taking enough time to really look with us about what we need. It's easier to distract than to investigate. What do we need? What do you need in your life from this relationship that you're having this conversation with? Do you need clarifying communication? Do you need more attention? Do you need to, this comes into some of those boundaries. You need no passive aggressive conversation. What is it that you need in the relationship? I recently had a conversation with someone where they said, I just needed you to listen. That's all I needed. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening to me and not trying to fix it. I just needed you to listen. I went over some of that last time I was on this, did my show about reframing and rephrasing and really being upfront about, I'm going to be saying something to you right now. I only need you to listen. I don't need your feedback. That can be really helpful in intimate relationships where somebody doesn't know what to do with the other person's conversation. Let them know what to do with you, if that's going to help satisfy a need of yours. But think about that as you go into these relationships. You know, what do you need from them? Is it respect? Is it love? Is it attention? Is it just an ear to bend? Is it a behavior that you would really appreciate that they changed? Are you able to express how that is affecting you? All right. Lots of information. So before I go to break, I'm going to actually take one break before the show wraps up today. But before I go to break, here's your four tips on having conversations with people who may emotionally tip you. Number one, write down the conversation. Don't be scared of this. I had a client who just did that and it went fantastic. Number two, stay on your side of the road. Come from the I point of view. Don't come from the you did this thing. I point of view. Stay on your side of the road. Number three, ask W and H questions. Get inquisitive. Find out what's going on in between their ears. Ask them how they're feeling. Why do they feel that way? What do you think of this? I mean, here we are surrounding ourselves with all these relationships. Do you respect them or not? Are you interested in their opinion? Or are you taking hostages in your life? Just somebody can call a friend so you can say you got friends? I don't know. But if they're worth respecting and they're still in your life because you choose them to, ask them questions. Figure out what's going on with them. And then last, stand up for your needs. Stand up for your needs. What do you need in the relationship? And are you communicating that? And when we come back, I will give a wrap to the show and a little bit of an overview. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to talk about that. So in the meantime, if you are interested in any coaching or any services from me, you can go to my website at susandanae.com. There you can reach out to me by communication or any of my social media on Insta, Facebook, Twitter, I think. I don't know. All right, we'll be back. Thanks.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Hey everyone, this is Susan Dene. Welcome back. I am talking today about conversation scripting for emotionally charged relationships. Now, the relationships that we can get in the conversation with and suddenly we don't know what we're doing or we forget to say something because we have so much tie to it, whether it's a professional relationship, we're talking to our boss about something that's important to us, or it's a family member, or I gave an example earlier in the show about talking to somebody about getting sober and how those can be sensitive conversations. And so how are we with having those conversations? How are we doing with them? Some of the signs that you may have a relationship in your life that's challenging for you to communicate, where I call it the emotional tipping. Emotional tipping might look like you forget what you're supposed to say during the conversation. You know, 20 minutes later, you realize, oh my goodness, why did I not bring that up? That was the whole point of the conversation and you forgot. Let's see, another one is you're avoiding the person consistently, yet there hasn't been a clear breakup, whether that's a friendship or a job, or you know what I mean, but you are practicing avoidance. And there was one more, I'll have to come back to it. So we talked about those reasons or those identifiers when you have an emotionally, a relationship in your life that can have a tendency to emotionally tip you. So I was talking about that, and then I went into, sometimes these relationships in our lives are really hungry and striving for boundaries. I reviewed a little bit about what a soft boundary may look like versus a hard line boundary. Often a relationship may not be working for us because we have just not made a boundary that was effective, which means that we're just kind of soft and doughy about it. You know, you kind of mention it, but you don't really have any assertiveness behind it. So there's no oomph, you know, there's no impact with the boundary, and the person continues to not listen or not do what you would wish they would do. And now it's getting weird. That's a soft boundary. A pretty hard line boundary is there. It's very clear. This is the situation. This is what I'm not willing to do. And this is the consequence I'm going to provide if the behavior continues, you know, and there's everything in between there. But ultimately, an effective boundary is going to be one that's clearly stated with a consequence. And then that consequence is followed through if the other person doesn't adhere to that. I'm not going to go too much down that rabbit hole today because that's a whole other show in and of itself. But boundaries are very important when we're talking about these intense conversations, or what feels intense, should I say, with relationships in our life that can tend to emotionally tip us during that. You know, an emotional tipping conversation might be one where you went in all ready to go and planned out, and then you lost it. You know, you lost your temper, you freaked out, or emotionally you turned inwards, you completely shut down, you froze up. Those are the type of conversations I'm sharing about today. So after talking about boundary setting, I went through four different tips about what you can do today if you have a conversation like this that's in your life, that you're debating on speaking with. You want it to go well. I had some flashcards and I showed them right before I went to break. But the one flashcard I didn't make that I should have made was make sure you reach out and talk to somebody about this potential conversation that you're going to have, because an outside perspective can be highly helpful to you to help you kind of walk through, or they can point out something they hear or don't hear. And they're not intimately involved with it like you are emotionally. So bouncing that conversation off somebody, and then after you have the conversation, calling that mentor, that somebody up and saying, hey, this was the conversation, this is how it went, and find out what type of feedback they give you. Or they may have none at all. They you may just get to talk about that with them, which will make you feel better. So all of that got me to the point of talking about needs. And that's kind of where I was wrapping up before we went to this break we took. How important it is to recognize what our needs are in a relationship, whether it's professional or friendship or intimate relationships, even with our children. You know, what are our needs? What is it that we're trying to convey? And we have to be honest with ourselves first before we try communicating those needs to somebody. So first suggestion would be understand what your needs are. You might need more respect. You might need more attention. You might need them just to acknowledge you when you're sharing a story with them. They don't need to give you any feedback. They just need to acknowledge you. You might need some training, let's say, at work, or you might need to change your desk around at work. So, and why would you need that? Well, maybe you need to feel emotionally safe, or you want to have a more invigorating experience, you know, to satisfy, you know, your excitement or whatever, right? So you have needs. Become intimately involved with your needs. Know what they are, because often when we're just doing life on life's terms and we're coming and going, we're not really paying too much attention to that. And that's okay. I mean, that's what we do, but let's just make sure we're not, you know, buzzing out on a cell phone and constantly escaping reality and then wondering why our relationships on the side aren't working, because people in our lives don't know what the hell we need. They don't know. We're not telling them, but we think they know. And now we're holding them accountable for what we think they know. And they don't know because we're not telling them. All right, that's what I got on need. So what do you say? Okay, I got like 2 minutes to go and then I'm going to be over. So let's see. Real quick. I need a tension-free evening. So I would like to talk about this tomorrow. I need a tension-free evening. I would like to talk about this tomorrow. Here's one for a parent, your elderly parent, maybe older parent. Mom, as much as I appreciate your input, I need to discuss this with my husband or wife before I discuss it with you. I need you to understand how important this is to me. I need you to understand how important this is to me. I need some time to think about that, but I will be back. Key words there. I will be back. I need some time to think about this, but I will be back. I will follow up with you. People like to be followed up with. People, that helps people understand that you just need a little bit of space and you're going to come back. I need you to. This is when you are being direct with somebody, and usually somebody important in your life. Like, I need you to calm down before you come home agitated from work. Could you do that for our family? Like, I need that. Anybody who's in a healthy relationship will hear you. They might be a little defensive at first, but they'll hear you. All right, today, that's almost a wrap for today. Okay, so scripting for emotionally challenging relationships. Identify which ones are tipping you over. There's key signs in that. You can go back through the show and listen to it. Apply the tools. If it's a really important conversation to you, write it down. Read it from the piece of paper. Talk to a mentor before you have the conversation. Follow up with that mentor afterwards. Know what your needs are. What are you trying to convey in this relationship? Stay on your side of the road when you communicate. This is my experience. I need this. I felt this. Okay. Ask W and H questions. Remember, ask them for what they're thinking. What do they think? All those great tips in today's show. Okay. I'm wrapping it up. If you want to get a hold of me, if you're interested in any coaching services, feel free to reach out at my website at susandenae.com. You can also reach out to me on social media. Would love to have you follow me on Instagram or Facebook. And I know there's another one out there. I just can't think of it right now. But anyways, super good to be here and really good to talk to you guys once again. See you in a couple weeks. And that's a wrap.
You have been listening to No, You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenae.com. That's Susan Denae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.